Ladies and gentlemen, good morning if you're in Australia, since probably almost everybody on this webinar is in Australia. Top of the morning to you. I'm here with Jack Bourne.
Hey, everyone.
And Jack is a very longtime collaborator. 10 years ago this year, Jack started working for me or with me, more of a contractor. It wasn't an employee, but he was our marketing manager for about 6 years or so, and he's a serial entrepreneur with many accomplishments, including having built and sold companies. He's the founder of Deadline Funnels. He's a very astute guy. If I got hit by a bus, Jack could do a seminar for me and do a very competent job. And tonight, this morning, pardon me. We are talking about putting moats around your business. And we are specifically talking about making a transition that I believe all marketers ought to be making. And it's really because the world has changed in greater ways than I think most people know or realize. And so I am calling this from the marketing skills treadmill to assets and wealth. And I think most marketers, if you've been properly trained by the gurus and the seminars that you go to and everything else, the way that you have come to think is, as soon as I master whatever, fill in the blank, my business will finally hit the hockey stick. And if you've been doing this a while, you know that this actually does work. You know that you do certain things or you acquire certain skill sets, and your business very well may hit the hockey stick. But it's a half truth. And if you approach this the way most people do, it becomes a treadmill. And it keeps going and going and going, and it never really does stop because marketing all by itself never really solves a fundamental problem. And I want you to be thinking about the question, are you building assets and wealth? Now, Jack, one of the reasons that Jack, that I brought you on this webinar is because you are consistently building assets and wealth. You built a company and sold it, which you can tell that story if you like. And now you're building another company which has a substantial amount of what people in the software as a service industry consider to be real assets. And so those of you listening, are you building assets and wealth, or are you actually just on a never-ending hamster wheel of marketing techniques? And like, okay, so, and there's kind of this sort of crack cocaine quality to the marketing technique hamster wheel. It's like, okay, I'm going to a seminar, and I want you to show me like, we're going to put this little box on my website, or we're going to change our pay-per-click campaigns in this certain way, and it's going to cause a big stack of money to show up in my bank account. And man, like as long as that's happening, then I'm going to keep going to these marketing seminars. And that, well, compared to how most people are living their lives, it is great, okay? But it's not as good as you can get by any means. And that's what we're here to talk about. I would like to hear from you guys in the chat box here. And I hope I didn't. Are you able to see my screen still, Jack? Just making sure.
Yes, I can see your screen. Yep.
Okay, so in the question box, and you're still seeing it now, Jack? Is that right?
Not seeing the presentation, but seeing your screen.
Oh, okay.
I see
Well,
cliffs.
oh, all right. Well, that's fine. Okay, so here's the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy your work? Just type in a number. And how you guys answer this is going to shape the conversation that we have here. But, is it a 3? Is it a 7? Is it a 10? I'd like to hear from you guys. So far, the ant, well, I got one person that says old career hangover, and there's a 1. Otherwise, it looks like the answer is more like a 7. On a scale of, next question, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you able to do the things that most matter to you?
Yeah, this one is near and dear to my heart. Can you give just an example of like what some of those things would be? Are
Well,
you talking about family? Are you talking
Jack
about
rather
travel?
likes kite surfing. I just came back from Europe and I did a roundtable meeting and a city tour meeting and had some meetings in London about some other projects that are very important to me. And I went with my wife and we had a few days to like screw off and go hang out in Prague, and it was a lot of fun. So, Jack, what was the
Well,
last?
but also, and I know that you're somewhat private about this, but you also put a lot of time, energy, and money into charitable work. So
Yeah, and
that's
we
something
adopted
that's
two
something that's
kids, which would not happen if we didn't have a reasonably prosperous business. So, the answers I'm getting in the chat box are kind of in the 5 and 6 range, so that's kind of interesting. How competition proof are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Type that in the chat box. How easily can somebody knock you off? How easily can somebody go steal your customer? One person typed in a 1.
Yeah, I don't have access to see the answers.
Sorry, I probably failed to make you
That's no
a
worries. I just want to
moderator or
let you know that's
something.
why I'm not reading off the answers.
I'm getting a 1 to 5 on this one.
Okay.
On a scale of 10, of 1 to 10, how well are you building wealth? Give people a couple seconds.
By the way, the last one is, as we're going to get into, is really, really important because it takes so much time and energy to build the business that you've always wanted to build, and then someone comes along and knocks you off. So you
Yes.
don't want to have to rebuild something. You want, of course, there's always going to, usually there's competition, and no matter what market you're in, but it's a matter of can you keep them at arm's length, or can you keep them at a football field's length? So how well can you fend off competition so that your business can continue to grow and prosper?
Well, this
All
one
right, so
I'm getting numbers like 4 and 5.
okay.
So, the older you get, the more interested you get in this particular question. Well, for building wealth, one of the things that you need to contend with that probably people 20 years ago didn't have to contend with is the 95-5 rule. And here's what I mean by that. So hopefully everybody listening is sufficiently familiar with 80-20 and heard me talk about it. And 80% of the people own 20% of the wealth, and 20% of the people own 80% of the wealth. But the digital world isn't 80-20. The digital world is 95-5. And I'll give you an example of this. Anybody could give you the names of 10 automotive manufacturers, like Suzuki and Toyota and Ferrari or whatever. But if I said name 10 search engines, I don't know anybody that can name 10 search engines. Most people would start running out at about 3 to 5. So why are there dozens and dozens of car manufacturers, but only one major search engine? It's because of network effect. There's a high amount of friction in the automotive world, and it makes perfect sense because of the way manufacturing works and everything else. It makes perfect sense that Toyota and Lamborghini would be completely different companies with completely different management styles and completely different manufacturing type of operations. But there's no benefit to having a different search engine for history than you use for science, than you use for recipes, than you use for shopping. And so there's one search engine, and there's one Amazon. Okay. And okay, there's two Ubers because there's also Lyft, but there's not 12. Okay. And the digital world wants one solution to a particular kind of problem. And that is affecting every marketer in the world. And you need to be in the 5%. And Planet Perry is really about being in the 5%. And it's not impossible, but it definitely requires a higher level of thinking than being in the top 20%. And if 95.5 hasn't come to your industry, it will. And you're either on the receiving, on the good side of it or the bad side of it. And there really is hardly any middle ground at all. It almost doesn't exist. And if you're in the 5%, you're in a position to attain wealth, because you don't have to be Jeff Bezos. You can be a miniature version of Jeff Bezos. And we have Planet Perry members in those categories, and I'm going to be talking about that. Okay, here's another chatbot question. One at a time. Do you have internal resistance against acquiring wealth? Like, do you find yourself frittering it away or avoiding it or doing something irresponsible with your money or earning lots of money and then losing it? Give me a scale of 1 to 10 on how wealth friendly your behaviors are. I'm really curious. So just to be clear, a 10 is I have a lot of internal resistance to wealth. A 1 is I have none. That's what I mean by that. I'm getting numbers from 6 to 10. That's very interesting. Well, first of all, I want you to know I relate. I have done a lot of stupid things with money once I've had it. I've had a tendency to put myself on back on hamster wheels that I got off of. I've had tendencies to, here's one. Oh man, if I make a huge profit at the end of the year, I'm going to have to pay a lot of taxes on that. Oh, I can think of ways not to have to pay taxes on that. So, all right, I'm getting the lowest number I got is a 4, and the highest number I got is a 10 on this one. Okay. When I was in Amway, they asked me a really interesting question. If you could shovel manure for 5 years for a living, and then at the end of shoveling manure, you wouldn't have to work again a day in your life, would you do it? And I said, absolutely, yes, I would. I would do dreadfully unpleasant work for a period of time if it set me free to go do whatever I wanted after that. Well, let's talk about how you actually build that wealth. There are three kinds of equity that we talk about in Planet Perry. One is business systems equity. And business systems equity is the business may not be spitting $100 bills into your bank account, but the business is worth money. And whether the business allows you to go take a vacation and still earn money while you're on vacation, or whether the business is quietly accumulating net worth so that you can sell it someday, the business itself has value outside of you and is an asset that makes you money and increases your net worth. That's business systems equity. The second kind, so here's an example of a guy who did this. Ed Hiricki started a company called Swiss Capital, I want to say 10 years ago. He came to a four-man intensive, I believe, in 2011. We worked on his Google accounts. But and he went through a variety of evolutions in that business. But about 5 years ago, as a result of the STAR Principle seminar with Richard Koch, he started really focusing on simplifying small business lending. And about 2 years ago, he sold that company to PayPal for a lot of money, like maybe somewhere between 8 and 9 figures, somewhere in that vicinity. I don't know the exact amount. There were estimates on Wall Street of how much it was. It was a lot. And I don't know that Ed was paying himself a huge amount of money while he was running that business, but when he sold it, he got a lot of money. Now, another interesting example of a person with a very kind of interesting two kinds of equity. Teresa Sedmak runs Everbright Coatings. It's a chemical company, and their chemicals take the tarnishing off of silver and steel and copper. And Teresa's company is quietly accumulating net worth while still allowing her to do the things that she likes to do. Teresa is a penultimate grandma. She likes doing, you know, like going on trips and playing with her grandkids and stuff like that. And she also likes cooking up chemical formulations. She's very good at it. But she has a business that is accumulating business systems equity. Then there's cash equity. And these are businesses that they are not sellable, but they throw off cash and you can bank the money. You know, people with a really good job who can retire comfortably have cash equity. And, you know, so these are guys that they take their money and they invest in stocks and real estate or whatever else. The third one is lifestyle equity. And Jack has a business that definitely has some of this. And Jack, could you just kind of talk about, you have gotten your business to work to a degree that is pretty unusual. Could you talk about that? Brag a little, please.
Yeah. So I'll keep this very relevant to this conversation, but there's an interesting crossover with Australia. So I'm coming to you from Byron Bay, Australia, which is where I now live with my family. And it was actually our trip to Australia in 2015 where we took six weeks away from the business in a totally different time zone than the U.S., which, as you know, can make communication back with the United States very, very challenging. And it was that 6-week trip which really got me moving very quickly in the direction of building a team that was going to be able to grow and lead themselves and not need as much direction from me. And this I certainly didn't accomplish this all from that one trip, but by taking that trip for 6 weeks, that really put a deadline on myself to come up with better systems, to move things off my plate, to outsource things, and to really grow the talent that I had to the point where they wouldn't need to be waiting around for me to assign them the next task. After that 6 week trip, we fell in love with Australia. About a year and a half ago, two things happened. So I've got two daughters. They're now 9 and 13. So a year and a half ago, my youngest daughter was in a very bad boating accident. She's since recovered, and she, you know, she has full use of her leg, but her leg was injured by the propeller in a very, very serious way, and that required a lot of, and that happened on a friend's boat, and so that threw a grenade into our, you know, social network on that front. With my oldest daughter, she went through a bullying situation and that whole fiasco, which I'd be happy to share when we meet in Australia. Be happy to share like all the trials and tribulations and twists and turns of that drama. But the short version is that was another grenade. That was actually more of an atomic bomb in our social network. And we decided there's lots of things that we love about the States. We love living in St. Augustine, which is a very small town, but it suddenly felt way, way, way too small. Too small-minded, and we just wanted to hit the reset button. So we hit the reset button, and I leveraged the equity in my business. It's not that I cashed out or sold it, but I leveraged the business systems. I leveraged some of the cash equity that we had built up, and I changed that into some very real lifestyle equity. It's the first time we'd ever done this. My wife bought a one-way ticket to Australia, and it was just cool. At that moment, that was a life raft out of our situation, because buying that one-way ticket felt like an act of defiance of saying, "Look, we can do this," you know. And we knew that we could come back, but it just felt like with the hurricane of negativity that was coming at us from all these different angles, it felt like this is something that we can control. We can do something that no one else can do. How many people can buy a one-way ticket to this magical, wonderful land of Australia and go there with the intention of staying there and moving there? And so we came over to see if it was going to be as wonderful as it was in 2015, because when you're on holiday, you know, you're visiting all the places where people are paid to be nice to you. And so we thought, well, you know, once the shininess of the holiday wears off, are we still going to love Australia? And so we live here. We've put down roots. We've since sold our house. We've sold all of our belongings in the U.S., saved some family heirlooms, and we live in Byron Bay. I've since taken up kite surfing. I've gone on two Fiji trips. I'm about to go on my third. And what I found is that through a lot of work on my part, I've built up the equity in my business in the form of business systems and also finding talent, attracting talent, grooming talent, and retaining talent so that my team really works better when I'm more of an advisor to what they're doing rather than them waiting around for me to assign them tasks or assign them projects. They don't do that. And me being halfway around the world has actually helped contribute to that, because it's really required me to embrace that constraint and to build my team and really hire the right people that are going to be able to take things over. So now I do. So it was a big lifestyle upgrade for us to go from that storm of negativity to being able to live in Australia, to be able to do kite surfing as my, you know, as my daily exercise, not daily exercise, it depends on the wind, but my weekly exercise, you know, and to really enjoy just a completely new environment. So anyways, I tried to keep that story short. I actually probably went a little bit long, but I'm just very, very excited about it, because you can live a life where you're still working. You still have to put in the time, put in the energy. This isn't the 4-hour work week by any stretch, but if you're smart and you make the right decisions and you work in it and you focus on 80-20 type of activities, you can have a business that also feeds that ability for you to do the things that you want to do.
Well, and one of the things that caused me to invite you to present at the Rosetta Stone Down Under seminar is you're actually doing this. I mean, in the marketing education world, there are a lot of people who are not what they appear. And with everybody here, what you see is what you get. And one of the things that I want to point out is you can't do all three forms of equity at once. You're not going to build a business that has business systems equity and have a amazing lifestyle and shovel giant amounts of money in the bank at the same time. You're gonna have some trade-offs, but what you've managed to do, Jack, is you've managed to engineer this such that you can have the life that you want while still building assets and working a sane pace and having a business that is very hard for other people to knock off, which greatly facilitates all of the above because if you're going to have a really great business, you need to not be constantly looking over your shoulder. In my case, the business I'm really in is not the business everybody thinks I'm in. Everybody thinks I'm in the book tape, like the being an author and running seminars. Well, that's the front end for the real business, and the real business is taking equity in clients. And we're going to talk about that a little more. Now, Jay Abraham made a but this keeps sorry. Jay Abraham, this is kind of a long quote, but it's worth every word. He says, "There are a lot of dangerous people talking about business these days. I've watched all these people. The most dangerous people are the ones who are advocating for 10x moonshot, an external technology, a business growth formula. I think they are dangerous to the entrepreneur as well for the following reason." What he's talking about is people who advocate the kind of the Silicon Valley mentality where businesses that take 5 or 10 years of venture capital in order to reach profitability. He says, number one, they failed to tell you that you've got to figure out what the machine is supposed to look like. You have to figure it out before you build it, which means you've got to hire a bunch of different disparate experts who are going to cost you a fortune who have perhaps never worked together or never worked in your industry. So you're going to create something that's going to take longer, cost more, and probably not be right when it's done. And then you're going to have to reconfigure it or going to course correct it. It's going to take longer and cost more. And you're going to either use cash flow to pay for it or borrow money or put out equity. And after it is perfected down, you're going to have to retrain or hire internal staff. You have to restructure the whole business to have the parallel universe for a while until you know it really formed. And unless you get the word out, it still won't sell. So now you have a bunch of selling and marketing costs. And he's talking about the if you build it, they will come Silicon Valley model that, a lot of people aspire to, but it's almost impossible to do. And this is why I've coined a term network effect for mere mortals. We're going to talk about network effect quite a bit in this presentation. And it's when you have the it's when you have the moat around your castle that like Uber does. So Uber, more riders attracts more drivers, which lowers the wait time, which attracts more riders, which attracts more drivers, which lowers the wait time. And the virtual circle keeps coming and coming and coming and reinforcing itself until it gets to where no brand new taxi company could possibly go into a new market and compete with Uber because Uber has everybody beat on every criteria. Now, you can do this in more conventional businesses. You don't have to do it just in an Uber type business. And so there are five stages of building an asset. The first one is marketing. And that's getting and keeping customers, which is a definition of what marketing is. The second stage is equity, getting and keeping wealth. So it's marketing something that creates assets, that either, you know, one of the three kinds of assets that we talked about. Number three is scale, is multiplying the assets to a size that's appreciable. Number four is a moat, it's protecting the assets. And the fifth step is castle, lifestyle, security, and power. It's actually doing what you want to do now that you have the assets in place. Now, after watching thousands of businesses for 18 years, and I started this company on the 12th of October, it will be 18 years ago. Network effect is the most powerful moat that I've seen around any business. So I remember when I first learned about Google Ads and pay-per-click, and I started to understand that the major search engines were building ad platforms, I had this intuitive hunch. And the hunch was, oh, I wonder if this is going to be like eBay. But it was a question. I wasn't sure what the answer was. And what I meant by the question was, well, eBay, once eBay has the buyers and the sellers, it's almost impossible to compete with them. And they will drive all of their competitors out of business. I experimented with Yahoo stores for a while, and it went out of business because all the business went to eBay. There was no reason why you would, or Yahoo auctions. I don't mean Yahoo stores. Yahoo had auctions, but it was clearly inferior to eBay. They couldn't attract the buyers, which meant they couldn't attract the sellers. Well, network effect is the most powerful moat around any business. Solomon 1000 BC said, build your barn before you build your house. Well, the 21st century version is build your network effect before you start spending money on expenses, houses, and cars. Now, the tactical triangle is part of this. And any of you who've read 80-20 Sales and Marketing understand that marketing is four things. It's traffic, conversion, economics, and 80-20. Well, you have these gold arrows that go around the edge of it. And what I figured out is that in the tactical triangle, those gold arrows are network effect. And network effect is when buyers attract sellers, and sellers attract buyers, and buyers attract sellers. And the bigger it gets, the more efficient it gets, and it sucks more people in. So Amazon has that working for them. What happens when you have that working for you? Now, software as a service platforms have this because the more customers you have, the better the platform gets, and it attracts more customers. And Jack knows that because, Jack, you have built SaaS companies. Do you want to give a couple more angles
to that?
Well,
one of the things I wanted to share is that, so I went to the Rosetta seminar that you had in Chicago, and I was really blown away by all the different ways that you had come up with for someone who's not a software company to develop the network effect in their business and the types of networking effect. I really felt like, in the same way, I hope everyone here is familiar with Perry's Swiss Army knife. So in a nutshell, it's a way to come up with dramatically different Google Ads, email copy. So rather than creating different iterations that are really just kind of mini clones of the parent where you started with your thinking, this is a way to really force you out of that by using formulas and structures. It's kind of you're using a very uncreative process to come up with an extremely creative end result. So in the same way, I was really impressed, Perry, with the thought process that you had put into all the different ways that someone could apply the network effect in their business, because I think it's really easy to look at, say, eBay or Amazon and go, well, I understand conceptually, Perry, that if I was, you know, if I had eBay, if I was the CEO of eBay or the founder of eBay, or if I was Jeff Bezos, this would be wonderful to have that network effect, but I'm a consultant, I'm an agency, I'm, you know, whatever. And so how does this apply to my business? And so one of the things that I'm excited about is that you're going to take that information that you shared in that Chicago event at the Rosetta Seminar with a room full of people doing exercises after. So it wasn't just come and listen, it's come and listen and then let's have a round, you know, have a discussion at your table. Let's talk, let's go through some drills and exercises to come up with what that might be for your business. And I think by people hearing you talk about it, seeing the examples and having a Chinese menu of different ideas to choose from, and then having the conversation with the person to the left, the person to the right, and the person across the table, really helped people to quickly come up with how they could apply what they were learning in that room to their own business. And it was like-minded entrepreneurs helping like-minded entrepreneurs in a guided way. And I think that's something that I had never seen done quite that well before. And so I'm very excited to see that applied in Australia. I've got some, you know, as you know that about the conversation I'm going to have about building a moat around your business. And I don't know if you want me to talk about that now or if we want to start the topic.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I'm going to present the other side of the coin. Now, one of the reasons why the network effect is such a powerful moat to prevent competitors from attacking your business is because it's not easy to do. So unlike the opposite would be a Google AdWords ad. If I'm your competitor and I see your Google AdWords ad, I can copy the headline, make a slight modification. I mean, there's really nothing that prevents me from copying that ad as an example. Okay, network effect is a lot more challenging, but the problem is that it's a lot more challenging. So as you go through and as you start to think about this, so challenge number one, and I have a solution for these challenges, okay? But here are the challenges. Challenge number one is that some businesses just lend themselves better to the network effect. So if you're creating an auction platform, obviously that inherently has a network effect in it. If you're a consultant or if you're running a marketing agency, you might be wondering, well, how can I apply the network effect? Perry has answers for that, and he's going to give some examples, but it's not as easy to see how that applies, okay? So number two, the problem is that even with guided information, it takes some while to contemplate and think about how am I going to apply this in my business, and that takes time to really come up with what is probably going to be your best bet, the best direction. Number three, there's the execution time. So you've got your plan, you've got where you're headed, you've got your vision of how you're going to apply the network affecting your business. It's not as, you know, you don't think of this on Monday and execute on Tuesday and celebrate on Wednesday. It's going to take some time to actually execute this plan. And then the fourth one is that in the same way that you can look at the most viral videos online and say, okay, what do they have in common? They've got these five criteria in common. That doesn't guarantee you that if you go create a video with those five criteria that your video will go viral. There's an element of putting it out into the marketplace and seeing if it goes viral. You don't choose that a video of yours goes viral, the market chooses. In the same way that the market chooses that you're gonna have this network effect. There are things that you can do to give it a big push, but ultimately it's the market that decides. So you should be pursuing a network effect and you should come to the Australian event to find out how you can apply this in your business. But then the question becomes, well, what do I do in the meantime? Do I just leave the walls of the castles open so that someone could come in and knock me off? And my answer is no. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking at the Australian event about how anyone, regardless of whether you are at the stage of deciding if the network effect is right for you, or if you're still contemplating how to apply it to your business, or if you've come to, or if you've decided how you're going to apply it, but now you're executing the plan and it hasn't really caught on yet, no matter where you are in that process, How do you protect your kingdom that you've worked so hard to build up? How do you prevent a competitor from coming in and ripping you off, knocking off your business and saying, yeah, we're just like, you know, Jack's business, but just one step better. So there are very specific ways that I've been able to establish moats in our business. And while they may not be as effective as having an eBay-like type of network effect or an Amazon type network effect, they're still extremely powerful, and they make it so that anyone who tries to compete with you is just going to bloody themselves and burn through lots and lots of cash and really waste a whole bunch of their time, because when you apply one or more of these ideas that I will share at the event, while you are working on your network effect, you are still going to have tremendous amounts of protection from someone coming in and knocking off your business. And so I'm going to break these down. I'm going to show you all the different ways that you can do this. And then we're going to have discussions with people in the room sitting right next to you to talk about what are some ideas to get feedback and get immediate feedback on the different ways that you are planning on applying this in your business. So this isn't just come hear Perry talk, listen to my presentation, take some notes, go home and forget about it. This is, let's have some conversations. Let's really challenge each other. Let's go through the process of thinking through our business so that then you can take all the information that you've learned over the days, and that you can narrow it down to that 80-20 list of here are the things that I'm going to do, and I already have a running start because I've talked to like-minded business owners who took time away from their business to really focus on the vision and where they want to go. So that's what I wanted to share, is that the network effect is extremely powerful, but it takes some while to implement. It takes a while to figure out where you're going to head with it. So in the meantime, what if you could build up a moat that was essentially that the moat around the castle filled with crocodiles, filled with box jellyfish and sharp stakes and prevented people from just leaping across the moat, swimming across the moat and stealing the gold that you've worked so hard to build up and hide inside your castle walls?
Well, every barrier to entry that you can build makes it just that much harder for somebody to come after your nest egg, and it makes it easier for them to decide to go after somebody else's, right? It doesn't have to be perfect, but there are these minor network effects that you can build into a business. Like consultants can have network effect. Consultants and agencies can have moats around their castle. It really is true. Let's keep going here. At Rosetta Stone Down Under, the dates are the 11th and 12th of November. And then on the 13th, we have an optional focus workshop with me, Jack, and Ari Galper. And it is very hard to get guys like this all in the same room, but we are doing it. This is, by the way, the first time I've been to Australia since 2004. So it was 15 years ago, and I love Australia, but you know, I get a lot of requests and a lot of reasons to go different places, and you know, I don't come there often. So this is a chance. Come and meet me, come and meet Jack, come and meet Ari. And on the focus workshop day, we're going to have a maximum of 6 participants, and everybody is going to get TLC, focused attention on your business. We'll also have phone calls and orientation around it, so that when we start the day, we can hit the ground running, and there's already a background that's been established. And you can sign up at perrymarshall.com/2OCT, 2 October. And this is a roughly 80% me. And I'm going to be going through a lot of material, and I'm going to show you how to build a moat around relatively ordinary castles, just the kind of businesses that online marketers tend to start. Jack Bourne, as you are hearing now, he's going to talk about how he has built a team that allows him to function more like a board of directors or a CEO than like a manager. And he's gonna go in detail of how he's built moats around his business. You're also going to hear from Mike Rhodes. Mike is the Australian owner of WebSavvy, which is the largest Google Ads agency in Australia. Mike is going to be giving you a strategic view of how businesses that are dependent on traffic can monopolize that traffic more effectively and squeeze more juice out of the orange with less effort. Now, who is this for? Well, Rosetta Stone is for, sorry, if you're a consultant or a service company and you want external equity, it's very hard to have business equity in a consulting business because it's your brains. I am going to talk about how I have gotten equity stakes in client companies, how you find the clients, how you qualify them. I'm going to give you a whole set of tools that you can use, A, to filter clients to determine, is this the kind of company that I even want equity in the first place? And B, once you start working with them, you will be able to assess their ability to grow. Can they add a zero to their revenue or not? There's a whole bunch of things where you can run x-rays on that business and figure out, are they really worth the time and the trouble? Okay, if you're building business systems equity and you need to recruit high quality talent, one of the best ways to recruit talent and to retain talent is to offer people equity. When I had worked in the Dilbert Cube for about a year, my boss offered me the golden handcuffs. And it was, if you'll stick around and build this thing with us, we will give you stock options. But if you leave, you lose your stock options the day that you leave. Okay, and that kept me in the game. It kept me from leaving. It kept me treating that job like it was my own business. And it eventually cashed out and gave me a big payday. That's what you want for your best team members. We're going to talk about how you do that. Rosetta Stone Down Under is for you if you feel like you're chasing bright, shiny objects of whatever variety and you're not building something solid and long-lasting, an asset. It's for you for consultants or agencies who want to be the tail that wags the dog. Usually, it's the consultant or agency who's disposable. What if you feel like clients are disposable and you twist it around 180 to the way that it normally is? And I'm gonna give you a preview of this at the end of this webinar. And I'm gonna tell you an example of some people who have done this, and I'm gonna give you an outline of how they've done it. It's really clever. Rosetta Stone is for you if you're concerned about the moat around your castle. I'm going to spend a full half day about how do you do that? How do you build barriers to competition? I am so uninterested in businesses that are easy to build but are easy to compete with. I have no interest in any business like that. That's not a real business. And if you want to own a self-sustaining network, this is for you. Now, you can't chase three. Jack, I think you want to say something.
I just wanted to chime in. I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but I want to contrast the. I want to give a contrast versus the typical marketing event. Okay, the typical marketing event is a parade of people who show up on the stage and they do their razzle dazzle show. And they're really invited there because they've got two qualities. Number one, they've got some name brand recognition, maybe. But number two, and most importantly, that they're extremely effective at selling something from the stage because the person who's put on the event is looking to make as much money as possible. Like whatever price you pay, whether it's low or high to get the event, is really just to pay to get you there. And then the real sale is from the stage. This is not that event. This is about like-minded entrepreneurs coming together and getting some real information and really having some in-depth conversations so that it's not just a parade of hearing about Instagram marketing and then hearing about, you know, the latest Facebook technique and hearing about this and that and pitch after pitch after pitch. This is going to be, as Perry mentioned, this is going to be 80% him on the stage sharing the same information that I saw shared in Chicago, but now he's bringing it to your neck of the woods, to Australia. And so this is an opportunity for you to have some interaction with like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, guided conversations through things like the network effect, guided conversations through how can you build a better team? How can you, whether you're at hiring your first virtual assistant to, yes, I have my team, but I just feel like the more team members I add, the more work it creates for me. Well, that's a fundamental problem. And so that symptom indicates that there's something that you can improve in your business. So no matter where you are on that journey, you can take it a step further. And so there's going to be conversations about how to do that, not just from us sharing that information with you, but you sharing it with the people next to you. So that's the type of event that Perry is putting on. And then you're going to have input from Mike Rhodes, that extra day with Ari. Ari is a serial entrepreneur as well, lives in Sydney. And so this is Perry bringing all of his everything that he's really put a lot of thought into over the past decade and really crystallize it down to the key things that are going to be the major leverage points in your business, along with some people like myself, like Mike Rhodes, like Ari, who he hand chose, not because we're going to be pitching from the stage, but because Perry knows us, trusts us, and also believes that we have something of true value to share, and we want to give. You know, this, you know, I'm going to be sitting in the audience and meeting you, having brekkie with you and mingling. And so same thing with Perry, you know, so this is the type of event where if you want to spend some time away from your business, Perry, you call this Renaissance time, but spend some time away from your business where you're not answering the emails, you're not being pinged about some comment that was made on your Facebook post, and you're really focused on creating a new vision for your business or improving the vision that you already have, and then coming away with a few small action items from all the information that was given to you so that you can really implement that and make a sea change in your business. That's what this event is about.
That's right. Well, so that requires that you have focus. And you know, a lot of people are so focused on solving marketing problems that they're not solving more fundamental problems. And the problem is that the acquire more marketing skills treadmill never ends. This is a set of meta skills that sit above marketing. Yes, all throughout the seminar, we're going to be touching on various aspects of marketing, and you will come out of the seminar a better marketer, but STAR principle, simplify, network effect are much more fundamental elements of your business than any of the communication channels. And when you switch your mentality from wealth, from marketing to wealth assets, it actually enables you to slow down, reduce your pace. Mark McShirley, who I'm going to talk about a little more later in this presentation, he has this great saying: there are few principles, many ideas, and few decisions. And so you burn the principles into your muscle memory. You can talk, you can explore, you can explore ideas to your heart's content, but then you make a very few decisions. If you come to this event and you just make a couple of key decisions, you'll make back 100 times what you paid to get in the door. It's 2 days of concentrated discovery, integrating the most important discoveries of the last 18 years. And I think you're really going to enjoy in a couple minutes, I'm going to start explaining how one Planet Perry guy, Mark Ingalls, who is a rank and file consultant, you know, with knowledge about business processes and pay-per-click, completely changed the game with his client and became the tail that wagged the dog. And then I'm going to talk about Mark Mashirley, who did that too. And I'm going to tell you about how they did it. And then I'll expand further at the seminar. I called this seminar Rosetta Stone because of how it combines three separate elements together, which each assist the other. And so the Rosetta Stone, which is in the British Museum in London, it was discovered in 1799, and it had the same message written in Egyptian and Greek and Coptic. And because they could cross compare the three languages, they could figure out a whole bunch of things about all three. Well, that is how Rosetta Stone works. So the first part is traffic conversion and economics, which is basic marketing. The second part is the Master 80-20 toolkit, which is the higher level structures that sit above marketing. And the third is the principle of the self-sustaining network, which is the best moat that you can have in any business. So here's what's new is first, you can walk into any business and instantly see how to add a zero, maybe two or three zeros. Now, all of us who do consulting, we've all had the experience of doing the courtship with a client and hearing about all the things they do. And it sounds really wonderful. And it sounds like, man, they're just going to go supernova any day now. And then you get under the hood and you start looking at stuff and you start finding out what's really going on. And you're like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? You know, and how hard is it going to be to beat this thing in a submission? And like, well, you know, I worked out this deal and I was going to get a percentage of the sales. And this is going to be a whole lot harder than I thought. Now I'm going to have to go get another client just to pay for the money that I thought I was going to make from this client. Okay, you're not going to do that anymore because you're going to have the right litmus test to apply to the client before they even come on board. Number two, immediate ability to rule out businesses where adding zeros is impossible. So you can identify the stars and the ones that can't be stars. Number three, a method for revealing the exact bottleneck standing in the way of more zeros. When you go around the tactical triangle, traffic, conversion, economics, there's a whole set of linkages for traffic, for conversion, for economics, where things get stuck. You're actually going to be able to run scorecards on all those different elements. Number four, you're going to have a roadmap to the exact tools, the exact processes and strategies that add the zeros. So you're going to know where the bottleneck is. And you're going to know what solution to apply to clear the bottleneck. Number five, if you're a CEO or a founder or an owner, a model for locating key consultants and employees and giving them golden handcuffs, which is the best incentive to make an employee act like an owner that there is. Number six, for consultants, a model for qualifying clients and taking equity in companies. Most consultants have never done this. It completely repositions you when you start talking to a client about their exit strategy instead of just talking to them about their Facebook ads. Number seven, a structure for ending a consultant or client relationship that isn't working. Eight, a model for sharing equity that's fair to everybody and it ensures that you get paid. You have to price yourself appropriately. Number nine, the master formula for a self-sustaining network, which is the strongest moat that you can build around any castle. Now, Ari Galper came to Rosetta Stone in Chicago, and he said he wanted me to tell people this. He said, Perry, based on seeing only a rough draft of your sales page, I'm buying airline tickets for Rosetta Stone from Australia. I bill out $2,750 an hour. So taking a week out of my business, flying 14 hours each way to spend a week for this in the U.S. will equate to $2,750 times 40 hours. Opportunity cost $110,000. That's the value I put on my decision to come to this event. And he came and he was glad. So The price is $22.99 Australian until 11:59 p.m. today, which is Wednesday, October 2. After that, it goes up to $24.99. And if you're a member of Renaissance 12 Jet Propulsion or Alumni Club, you save $300 Australian off that price. So you'll get a special login for that. If you're bringing a guest, it's $9.99. Now, we have a guarantee is if by 5 p.m. Australian time on the 11th of November, the first day of the seminar, if you do not feel you are receiving the most elegant, comprehensive market domination and equity strategy you have ever witnessed in your entire entrepreneurial career, and I don't care what seminar, guru, consultant, college, university, private equity group, investment banker, venture capitalist, wherever you got your education, if this is not the best you've ever gotten, come to the registration table, ask for a refund. We will give you a refund and $1,000 Australian for your trouble. I totally believe this. When I did a similar seminar in Chicago, I got a huge standing ovation at the end. And I am not aware of any refunds. And we made this guarantee to them too. Jay Abraham has another rant. He said, the seminar industry has turned into nothing but a paid hustle-a-thon. They charge you 10 grand and every other speaker is teasing and selling something and it just makes me nauseous. Why is that? He says, the consumer can't be that naive after going to every one of the seminars. Every speaker is teasing intellectually. We are not doing that. This is a content seminar. You can register at perrymarshall.com/2OCT. The price goes up at midnight tonight. Sign up. Now, for those who register, there's a special offer that we have. We have an Australia intensive the next day. It's the 13th of November, includes dinner, and it's me, Ari Galper, and Jack Bourne, and you, and a maximum of five other people in the room, and we are going to tear your business apart and put it back together, and we're going to solve your most difficult problems. And these are very smart guys. And getting all three of us in a room, rare as hen's teeth. When else is it going to happen? And when else is it going to happen in Australia? If you love marketing, but you know that one more marketing strategy is just going to be a Band-Aid, this is for you. If you're a founder or CEO and you want to build enduring assets and you need the team and the structure to do it, if you're a consultant or agency and you want to be the tail that wags the dog, you need to be here. It's the hot seat. We have a discount. It's $49.99 Australian and observers are $17.49 Australian and you can sign up. Now I want to talk about something. This is a coffee shop and this could be any shop, coffee shop anywhere in the developed world. And most people in that coffee shop are serfs. You know, in the ancient times, they had landowners and they had serfs who just farmed the land. 95% of people are just farming somebody else's land. The purpose of Rosetta Stone Down Under is for you to be the landowner. And that means you need to own something that has business systems equity and network effect. My goal is for Planet Perry people to be the land owners. And I think that's what you should aspire to. You don't want to be a digital sharecropper. You don't want to be just doing consulting for somebody else's business, making money for them, making money for Google, making money for Facebook, and you just getting a monthly fee. That's not what you want. Jacques Ellul in 1964, he said, societies used to contain technologies. Now technologies contain entire societies. You need to own a technological asset and control it such that the business is dependent on the part that you own. And that is what network effect is. In a 95-5 world, the question is, do you own the network or does the network own you? It's one or the other. I got this email this morning. And Jim, actually, it was last night. It was about 24 hours ago. And I just pulled this out of the hat because I thought it'd be valuable. He said, Perry, of all the coaches or mentors I've had over the last decade or more, only you and one other delivered actual results changing information in workshops. I went from six figures to multiple seven figures as a result. He sent me that and he said it before he asked me a question. And he just wanted my input on something. And that I didn't ask him for that or anything. He just told me that. If you come to the seminar, you will not be disappointed. It is worth your money. PerryMarshall.com/2October. Let's talk about agencies and consultants or little guys, how they become the tail that wags the dog. So I'm going to tell you two quick stories. Mark Ingalls started working with a company that made software for managing customer information for automotive repair shops, CRM company for automotive repair. They said, we would like to start selling Google ad management to these customers. Let's hire Mark Ingalls to do that part of our business. So Mark came on board as a consultant and he started building that. Well, I had a conversation with Mark probably a year and a half ago. I said, Mark, you should be the chief feedback loop officer of this company. And what that meant was you should be the guy in charge of building self-reinforcing loops that every time you add one of these to that business, it becomes more impenetrable. So the first self-reinforcing feedback loop was this. Every time he adds another Google Ads client, so they're managing ads for automotive repair shops. Every time he adds another one, A, he's able to take the expertise and the knowledge of the previous campaigns and apply them to a new client. So there's leverage there. And then the new client adds traffic and data. And that is a self-reinforcing feedback loop. And it doesn't sound like much, but once he has 25, 50 clients on board, it actually becomes a significant barrier to entry because his campaigns will be substantially better than somebody with a smaller self-reinforcing network. So that was the first thing that he put in place. Then we started looking at what happens if all of that traffic goes to a common website. Well, then the Google reviews accumulate for all those businesses instead of one at a time. And Google reviews our network effect. So we started working on that. Then we asked the question, what happens if we take the phone calls? And he came up with this idea of a virtual service provider where instead of a bumbling mechanic answering the phone and calling people back in the afternoon and saying, hey, we've looked at your car, here's what's wrong. They would have a central office of highly trained people doing this, which increases the closing rate and increases the profitability of the shops. Well, I've only given you a preview, but already what you have is you have Mark empowering that business to, for all practical purposes, own these automotive repair shops because he's Uberizing the business. And when they started getting all of this going, the Mark negotiated a 25% stake in the business. Now, I don't know how many consultants you know, but I don't know too many consultants that are negotiating a 25% stake in a company and becoming the president of the company. And that's exactly what happened. Mark became the president of the company. Now, let me jump to another example of agencies and marketers becoming the tail that wags the dog. So, Mark McShirley was working with a guy, and they started a company called Roof Simple. And just the super simplified version of Mark's story, I'll give you a couple of elements of this. One element was Mark realized that the biggest lever in advertising a roofing company was Google reviews. And Mark realized that the number one goal of any roofing job was to get a five-star Google review, which is harder than it sounds because people want to get the roof done and then be done with it and forget about it. And when the roofing crew leaves, they don't want to sit down and write a Google review. But they figured out that there are certain transactions that happen in the construction of a roof where there's an opportune time to really impress the customer. And he lasered down on those, and he got to where his roofing company has about 60 or 70 Google reviews. Now, that's network effect all by itself because it makes his advertising one-third as expensive as all of the other roofers in town. And that alone is a moat around your castle. When your advertising is inherently one-third the price of everybody else's, that's huge. But then here's what happens next. They're in the DC area, Northern Virginia. The very first day that they open for business in Pennsylvania, they have 60 Google reviews in Pennsylvania. And now their advertising is one-third the cost of any other roofer in Pennsylvania, also. Now, that is just a little tip of the iceberg of what these guys are doing. We, in my Advanced Mastery Network, which is my most expensive coaching group, it's $39,000 a year. We are teaching our members to become the tail that wags the dog. If you're any kind of a consultant, even if you're a service company like a roofer, you can add network effect for mere mortals elements that makes it invisibly impossible to compete with you, and the competitors don't know why. And by the time it's built, it's too late for anybody else to knock it off. I want you to have that kind of moat around your castle. I want your business to be impervious to competition. When I ask you, how vulnerable are you to competition? I want you to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 2 or a 3, not very. Or when I say, how strong is the moat around your castle? I want you to tell me a 7 or an 8 or a 9. So that's what we're doing at Rosetta Stone Down Under. And I'm going to let Jack close with a few last comments. And please talk a little more about what you're going to talk about, Jack, and make sure they know.
Sure. So, one of the things I want to just really get across is how excited I am that that we're having this event, because now that I live in Australia with my family, I feel the way that you must feel, in the sense that it's really, really challenging to have proper networking opportunities and opportunities to get access to real legitimate information, not just the sort of the show don't tell dog and pony show that ends with a high price pitch. Sometimes in those types of events, there's maybe one or two presentations that, even though they end in a pitch, you glean some good information out of it. But this really is an opportunity for you not just to meet with other like-minded Australian business owners who are going through the same process of thinking about their business and thinking about where they want to take their company and trying to get past the obstacles, getting the feedback. But it's also an opportunity for you to meet with me and meet with Perry and meet Ari and meet Mike Rhodes. We really love talking to entrepreneurs who get it, who are on this journey. And so, you know, for me, I've been just absolutely starved of the opportunity to talk with business owners who are working in different niches and finding out about all the cool things that they're doing. So this is a great opportunity for me to get away from my business and really get focused on your business, and to, you know, also go through the same information, because, you know, I'm still learning and growing as well, even though there's a lot of things when I look back over the past several years, I've done really, really well focusing on some of the 80-20 levers. There's really, as Perry talks about, it's a, I'm blanking on the word, but you can go as deep, it's fractal. There you go. It goes as deep as you want. So you can keep drilling down and drilling down and drilling down. There's really no end to where you can find those 80-20 levers. So this is a great opportunity, no matter where you are. You've got a six-figure business, you want to take it to seven-figure going to eight going to nine going to 10. You're only limited by how you take the information. You ask yourself the question of how can I apply this in my business, because 80-20 truly is fractal. But this is something that I am just so excited and looking forward to, because this is a great opportunity to meet you, to talk about your business, to talk about your obstacles, and to really work together as a team to come up with the business that is going to take you from where you are now to where you want to be. And that's just really something that I just really, really love doing. So I mentioned before, I'm going to be talking, I'm going to have several presentations. One of them I know is going to be on how you can build a moat around your business, whether you're still trying to figure out how to build the network effect into your business, or you've kind of got it figured out, but you're working on executing the plan, or you're executing the plan, but it hasn't quite happened yet in your business. No matter where you are with that, let's build a moat around your business. Let's protect the castle, because whether you're transitioning from being the consultant to, you know, that just gets paid to build up the value of someone else's company, and now you want to become getting a piece of that pie, or you're the landowner and you're trying to build up the team, you know, you've got something, or you're going to soon have something that you want to protect. How do you make sure that you are making it as painful and difficult as possible for competitors to come in and knock you off? And so that's what I'm going to be talking about. So yes, the network effect is one of those, but there's other ones that are quicker to implement, are a little bit more reliable in the sense of, if you do X and Y and Z and wash, rinse, and repeat, this will happen. You will have this. Mm-hmm. You will build up your moat. You will build up the walls. You will solidify. You will fill the pits with the crocodiles and the box jellyfish and the great white sharks and, you know, like everything that's going to make it very, very painful for someone to decide, I'm going to swim across and try to steal the gold. So that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about. The other thing that I'm going to be sharing is my journey from a conversation I had with Mike Rhodes, where once upon a time it was me, just me trying to figure out how do I build this business. And Mike Rhodes had a very influential conversation with me years and years and years ago, where he really helped me take that leap from doing 90% of the work to bringing on value team members, and how do you start to outsource things. So that was like the first baby step in my journey to where I am now, where my team is coming up with initiatives and building out new features and building the business. We just launched a redesign literally yesterday for our website, which, other than giving my advice and feedback and being kept in the loop, really I was not part of. You know, obviously I knew it was going on. I knew it was happening, but this was an initiative that was started by my team, developed by my team, and I had feedback. Really, kind of, I became sort of the consultant to this, you know, to my team. And so how do you get to that point? There are very specific things that you do in order to get to that point. And I'm going to be sharing the things that worked for me, some of the resources that I think have worked well for me, books that have been influential. And so I'm going to be sharing that information and of course answering any questions that you have. And so those are at least two of the topics that I'll be talking about at the event. But I'm also extremely excited for any of you who are going to be signing up for that third day. I talked to someone yesterday who is an Australian, lives near Sydney. It wasn't Newcastle, but it was somewhere in that general area. And we had a very short conversation because basically he wanted to know, is this event right for me? He's been working on a technology around renewable energy, and he's extremely excited, but he's been following Perry for a long time. He knows about me through the 80/20 sales and marketing book and some of Perry's emails. And so he wanted to know, is this going to be right for me? Should I come here and get advice? And I said, yeah, this is really the only opportunity that you're going to have to be able to get your questions answered. And I said, if you sign up for that third day, what's going to happen is we're going to ask you some questions. Perry's team is going to reach out to you, get some groundwork done, and we're probably going to have several rounds of asking some clarifying questions so that when we're focused on your business, we're going to have a running start. It's not going to be, oh, okay, your name is John Smith, tell us about your business. We're going to have a running start about what it is that you're looking to get out of the day, and really try to drill down as quickly as possible on how we can best help you. So I'm extremely excited about this because I just love talking about entrepreneurship. I love talking about marketing. I love talking about building businesses. And I also love talking about how to really enjoy what you've created while you're creating it, so that your health doesn't have to get worse and worse and worse, so that you don't have to be really a prisoner inside of a jail cell that you've created, so that you can actually enjoy what you've done. And it's really a false decision of, do I have a family, a family life that I can enjoy? Do I have a health that is, vital and actually improving? I'm playing some of the best tennis of my life. I'm taking on new sports and new activities. Actually, one thing that we didn't mention, the 80/20 tactical triangle, is something I came up with while I was out on a run. And so one of the things that some people don't realize is that there's actually a really important benefit to taking what Perry calls Renaissance time, where whether it's going out and having a sweat or spending 2 days at an event or going on a trip to Fiji, if you do it correctly, not only do you get the rejuvenating value of clearing your mind, but you also a lot of times have business breakthroughs that your conscious mind just can't unlock. It's when you put it aside and just say, okay, I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to go stand up paddle boarding. I'm going to, go on a trip with my family. It's happened too many times for me to believe that it's coincidence, that's when that puzzle piece finally comes into place. It's when the subconscious finally is given the opportunity to speak up and is not drowned out by that conscious voice that says, why can't I figure out this damn puzzle?
Amen, brother. So price goes up 11:59 p.m. Sydney time. It's $22.99. It'll go up to $24.99 after that. You get discounts if you're in Renaissance 12 or some of our other programs. And you can bring a guest for $9.99. Maybe you've got a partner, a spouse, or even a marketing buddy that wants to join in. You can team up with them and come. There will be less than 100 people at this seminar. I'm going to guess somewhere between 60 and 80 might be a pretty educated guess. And that's a great size of an event. You can meet everybody. You can have multiple conversations with numerous really sharp people. We attract a sharp audience at our events. And you get to talk to me, talk to Jack, talk to Ari. Really looking forward to it. You got until midnight to sign up. Go to perrymarshall.com/2OCT and get in while the discounts are available. So that's all I got.
Awesome. This was fun. And I look forward to more fun when I meet you at the Australian event.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jack.
See ya.
Take care.